Salutations, Mets fans. Welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, back in his slightly more acoustically pleasing apartment this week, Jeffrey Paternostro. And with me is everyone's favorite podcast trivia question answer, Greg Karam. Greg, how's it going?
It's going well. I was happy to make the cut there.
It was really, I should have had more questions along that line. I won't say you were the most popular with our listening audience, because that was our Mel Torme, apparently. But it was a good job on Chris to pull out a slightly less esoteric question to give away the Mike Pelfrey prize pack. Because we were bleeding at that point. We were just dying out there. It was not pretty.
I know. I don't know if I felt good about myself or if I felt bad about myself that I knew the answer to most of the trivia questions.
That's something you'll have to work out between yourself and any therapist you might visit. So this is Amazing Avenue Audio episode 79. And before we title the episode, we have an email about how we've been titling the episode. Getting a little meta here. This is from Mark. I've been listening to you for a little while now. I meant to email you about 15 weeks ago after you got to number... It's a little delayed here, Mark. It's like before the season started. After you got to number 61, I was hoping that you would title the podcast after the year instead of a player, which obviously gets thin after 50-something. There's still time. Name episode 79, Crane Pool Retires. Keep up the good work, Mark. When we sort of got into the higher numbers, I mentioned on the podcast, I forget exactly when it started, that we would have to start mixing in different titles because there weren't a lot of players or interesting non-middle relievers that were wearing the numbers in that week. So we started mixing in some different titles. And I did say we would, when applicable, try to mix in things that happened in that year in Mets history. And we did, I think we did one for 69 and one for 73, which were sort of the big milestone seasons we've covered so far in terms of episode numbers. Crane Pool Retires would be a good choice. I'm not going to title the episode Crane Pool Retires. For a reason that will become obvious in a moment, the title of this episode will be There's Always Money for Tulo in the Banana Stand Edition. Because perhaps there's money for Troy Tulowitzki in the Banana Stand, Greg.
That's a big discussion.
It is a big discussion. It is on the agenda, which I will go over now. We're talking about Troy Tulowitzki and the trade rumors around Troy Tulowitzki and what the Mets might trade for Troy Tulowitzki, not to be confused with Troy Tulowitzki, as the Colorado Rockies t-shirt giveaway said. Haven't seen any of those on eBay yet. Real collector's items. After that, we talk a little about Carlos Gonzalez, too, who the Mets have been linked to in trade rumors for the last week or so. We'll talk about the trade deadline in general, which is coming up on Thursday, whether the Mets will buy, sell, or sit. What the August trade deadline may hold, since that's now a thing. I won't go on rants if they don't trade Bartolo Colon. I have learned my lesson. And then we'll answer your emails. Hopefully it will be a brisk 60 to 70 minutes. He says. Knowing that will probably not be the outcome here.
Yeah.
So buckle in. Pour yourself a drink. I have an old-fashioned. I stopped on the way home to get actual sugar cubes to do it properly.
I'm drinking an IPA, which I'm sure that you will, you're not a fan of.
Which IPA is it? There are some IPAs I like.
Lagunitas.
Have I had that? I like their pills. I don't think I like their IPA.
It's my go-to these days.
My go-to, if I can find the Elm City Pilsner, which I can around here pretty regularly, it's a local brewery. Does a really good job. Sort of like a nice, not overly hoppy Pilsner. What else have I been drinking a lot of recently? You can just follow me on Untappd. I don't even know. I'd have to look. I had the Dogfish Head Firefly the other night, which is like their English Pale Ale. I was not a big fan. Dogfish is very hit and miss for me.
They have a lot of beers.
They also have a lot of beers, yes.
Yeah. It's hard to keep up, actually.
But no wrong choices. You're going to need a drink. We got a lot of trade, and that is TARAID. As I'm sure the episode header in your iTunes or whatever your preferred method of listening to the podcast will confirm. So Troy Tulowitzki, we have an email from Hank, dear Mr. Paternostro, and confidant. The Mets have been linked to Tulo recently. That makes me very happy for two reasons. They're inquiring about a player with a very large contract, so that makes me think their financial woes are starting to become in the past. Also, being willing to eat some of Cologne's food budget to get a better prospect is something that a big market club does. The second reason is I like Tulo. I think he's a gold glove at shortstop and the bat that would play at any position, even DH. It would be a major piece for turning this team around. Some of my fellow Mets fans disagree. Say he does not stay on the field enough to warrant a high prospect like Thor, and his contract would preclude the Mets from spending in other areas. Personally, I see their points, and if the Mets could get Giancarlo Stanton instead of Tulo for the same kind of prospects, I would much rather have Stanton. But I believe even though Tulo has warts and he is not as young as he used to be, as are we all, he is still a player that if it is available, you have to go out and get. Also, what do you think the Mets have to give up to get him? I think Thor, Herrera, Plawecki, and some low-level guy like Becerra would be enough. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter. Well, you're going to hear our thoughts on the matter, Hank, as the MLB.com in-between inning ad blasts through my headphones. Because it's still a thing. This came out probably the, middle end of last week, where the Mets were definitely interested in Troy Tulowitzki and Carlos Gonzalez if the Rockies were to make them available, and it's still unclear if the Rockies actually will. I will say, before we even preface the discussion, it's not going to happen before the trade deadline. The Rockies have no reason to make that deal. Now, look, 29 teams can't take on that contract, but they'll have way more in the offseason than they'll have on July 29th and more time to play teams off each other. So we're tabling this whole discussion realistically until the offseason. But it came up this week, and there's not much else to talk about, so here we are. But to Tulowitzki specifically, from there, it was rumored the Mets were willing to give up Noah Syndergaard, previously said to be untouchable, in a Tulowitzki deal. Came out, of course, from another beat reporter with another source. No, the Mets aren't trading Noah Syndergaard. He is basically untouchable. Now maybe the Mets are more interested in Carlos Gonzalez. I don't know, but we'll start with Tulowitzki. I want to say, like, assuming the Mets have the budget, that so much of that crap's baked into the conversation, no matter what. In a vacuum, are you giving up a premium prospect package for Troy Tulowitzki and is $118 million for 6 years, whatever it is?
You know, I hate to be wishy-washy because...
What is this? We only accept hashtag hot takes on this show. You know, This. Our listening audience knows this. Are you going to make like a pros and cons list? Is that what's going to happen now?
Well, look, I mean... You can't talk about it without talking about the money, right? So, like, in a vacuum, if they had the money to go out and make this kind of trade, I probably would be in favor of packaging up a bunch of prospects and getting Tulowitzki back, because it's going to help, especially, a lot in the near term. It might hurt you on the back end because, he's got the injury problems and he hasn't played 150 games in quite some time. So, if I had the payroll flexibility to make such a move, I would probably do it. But like you said, you can't talk about this issue without talking about the money. And money is a huge issue with the Mets, at least it seems to be. And Tulowitzki's making $20 million a year. So when you look at it that way, then, maybe I'm not so keen on packaging up all these prospects because the Mets are more like a small to mid-market team these days with the way their budget is and their payroll. So if the Mets are a mid-market team with, $100 million payroll, I probably am a little bit more hesitant to make this kind of deal.
Okay, fine. Let's say the Mets they have the money to take on the Tulowitzki contract, like as it stands right now. So they can add $20 million to the payroll next year. So would the amount of arb raises